There's a lot of history in our readings today. We hear about the Magi from the first reading of Isaiah, prophesying that there would be dromedaries from Midian and Ephah coming to Jerusalem to rejoice. And they were to bring gifts of gold and frankincense. And then in the gospel, we hear Matthew telling us something a little different, that they came to worship and they brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Myrrh was the oil that they used to bury someone. And of course, the writers of the Gospel of Matthew and the other Gospels lived after the resurrection, so they knew that Jesus would raise, he would die and rise again, which they didn't know in the Old Testament. Isaiah had no idea that the Messiah was going to be a small child, come into the world and would die and rise again. So he only had gold and frankincense that the wise men brought to Jesus, or to Jerusalem. Matthew's gospel starts with the genealogy of Jesus. It's simply the Abraham, the father of Isaac, the father so-and-so. He goes through the list and finally comes to Joseph, the son of the house of David, and his name was Jesus. That's how he starts his gospel. Most of us probably wouldn't want to even read it. It means nothing, all these strange names, and that they were part of the history of Israel. And then right away, after that, Matthew goes into the story of the Magi. That's how he begins his gospel. Strangely enough, he doesn't talk at all about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, the shepherds, and all the things. He talks about the visiting of the Magi, which tells us something about Matthew. Matthew wrote his gospel. Matthew had his gospel preached to Jewish Christians, to the Jewish converts, people who were Jews but converted to Christianity. And he wanted them to realize something very important, that these Magi were a transition from the Old Testament to the New, and that these Magi represented the new world, all the nations of the world, that this Messiah has come for everyone. Matthew was a tax collector, a Jewish tax collector, and he grew up, as did all his hearers, in the Jewish tradition. So they knew all of these stories in the Old Testament, that that God had come to save the Jews, and that people would come to Jerusalem and celebrate, which was at their first reading we heard. However, then we hear the gospel, and it is much different. Matthew starts by telling the people, Christ has come not just for the Jews, but for all the people of the world, all the Gentiles. And that would have been a hard thing for them to pick up and understand and accept. I mean, their whole tradition was very different. And for them to come to terms with this, I'm sure was very difficult. That there is something more here than the Old Testament, than the writings of the prophets and kings. And so we have here today the beginning of the church as we know it. The church that includes Gentiles and other people throughout the world, no matter where or when. It's open to all those people throughout the world. And so Christianity is spread throughout the world, as we know, and that's began here with the Magi, that the Magi represent that, that God has come for all of us. And God has come not only for us, but also for the Gentile Christians, for you and for me, basically. We're only here because God chose afterwards to include us. So the Jews are still special to God, but now Jesus has come for all of us, and you and I are beneficiaries of that. Christians now believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the light of the world, that Jesus has come to save the world. And you and I look around, we don't always see things that remind us of salvation. Rather, we see destruction around us and all kinds of other things that tend to bring our world into darkness. And so you and I need to hope. We need to be followed through with hope, the hope that we have been given this gift of faith by God himself, and that God is part of this world, and if we allow God to touch us, God will. In Jesus, Jesus has already touched us fully, and now we can continue to be touched by Jesus in our world if we allow that to happen. So you and I, as Christian people, as good Catholics too, pray for peace and pray for people to get along. And each in our own way, we can do that in our own lives, our families, our neighbors, our work people, people we work with, and so on. So I think for you and for me, New Year's resolution would be to do our best to be hope for the world. And that was our Advent theme, to be hope for the people we live with and live around.